Sabotage in Space by Kerry Rockwell. Chapter 1. Bong, bong, bong. With a hollow booming sound reminiscent of old 18th and 19th century clock towers, the electronic time tone rang out from the Tower of Galileo, chiming the hour of 9. As the notes reverberated over the vast expanse of the Space Academy, USA, the lights in the windows of the cadet dormitories began to wink out, and the sidewalks that crisscrossed the campus, connecting the various buildings, rumbled to a halt. When the last mournful note had rolled away to die in the distant hills, the school was dark and still. The only movement to be seen was the slow pacing of the cadet watch officers, patrolling their beats. The only sound, the measured clicking of their boots on the metal strips of the sidewalks. On the north side of the quadrangle near the tower, a young watch officer paused in front of one of the dormitories and scanned the darkened windows of the durasteel and crystal building. Satisfied that all was in order, he continued on his lonely way. A moment later, a shadowy figure arose out of the bushes opposite the dormitory entrance and stepped forward quickly and cautiously, pausing on the sidewalk to stare after the disappearing watch officer. The figure was illuminated by the dim light from the entrance hall. He was a young man wearing the royal blue uniform of a space cadet, tall and wiry, with square features topped by a shock of close-cropped blonde hair. He stood poised on the balls of his feet, ready to move quickly should another watch officer appear. After a quick glance at his wrist chronometer, the young cadet darted across the sidewalk toward the transparent crystal portal of the dormitory. Hesitating only long enough to make certain that the inner hallway was clear, he slid the portal open, ducked inside, and sprinted down the hall toward a large black panel on the wall near the foot of the slide stairs. On the panel, in 5 long columns, were the nameplates of every cadet quartered in the dormitory, and beside each plate were 2 words, in and out, with a small tab that fitted over one of the words. One of the 150 cadets in the dormitory, 149 were marked in. The slender, blonde-haired cadet quickly made it unanimous, reaching up to the tab next to the name of Roger Manning and sliding it over to cover the word out. With a last final look around, he raced up the slide stairs, smiling in secret triumph. In room 512 on the 5th floor of the dormitory, Tom Corbett and Astro, the 2 other cadets who, with Roger Manning, made up the famed Polaris unit of the Space Cadet Corps, were deep in their studies. Though the lights-out order had been given over the dormitory loudspeaker system, the desk lamp burned brightly and there was a blanket thrown over the window. The boys of the Polaris unit weren't alone in their disobedience. All over the dormitory, lights were on and cadets were secretly studying. But they all felt fairly safe, for the cadet watch officers on each floor were anxious to study themselves and turned a blind eye. Even the Solar Guard officer of the day, in charge of the entire dormitory, was sympathetic to their efforts and made a great deal of unnecessary noise while on his evening rounds. His brown curly hair falling over his forehead, Tom Corbett frowned in concentration as he kept the earphones of his study machine clamped tightly to his ears and listened to a recorded lecture on astrophysics as it unreeled from the spinning study spool. As command cadet of the Polaris unit, Tom was required to know more than merely his particular duty as pilot of a rocket ship. He had to be familiar with every phase of space travel, with a working knowledge of the duties of all his unit mates. Astro, the power deck officer of the unit, paced back and forth between the bunks like a huge, hulking bear, muttered to himself as he tried to memorize the table of reaction times for rocket motors. Though the huge Venusian cadet was a genius at all mechanical tasks and able to work with tools the way a surgeon worked with instruments, he had great difficulty in learning the theories and scientific reasons for all the things he did instinctively. Suddenly, Astro stopped, looked at his chronometer, and then turned to Tom. "Hey, Tom," he called. "Where's that jerk Manning?"